AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Matt McNeil. We undoubtedly are living in historic times, that what has happened in the wake of the death of George Floyd and the subsequent protests and then the rioting, looting, and burning of Minneapolis, this is history that is being presented to us as we see it. And it brings up an interesting perspective for people that study history and preserve history and whose lives are talking about history. How do you look at something that's happening in the real world as we speak and try to put it in perspective in a historical nature? Sophie Hunt is the public programs manager for the Hennepin History Museum, and she's kind enough today to join us today to talk about what has happened here and the historical perspective as far as preserving the history of what is going on. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here. I do appreciate it. The Hennepin History Museum, a beautiful little gem there. We, of course, it's a museum that obviously, you know, you're an easy one to talk to about this because of what's happening here. But it's a museum that's been focused on the history that has happened, you know, not only here in the city of Minneapolis, but throughout the entire county into the rural areas of the county as the city has grown.
It is, and our mission is to collect, preserve, and share that history. And so a number of different pieces coming together, and I think coming together in new ways in 2020 than before.
I was in Lakewood Cemetery, and in Lakewood Cemetery there is a monument to the mill explosion of 1878. And there was an interesting moment. I thought to myself that, you know, wow, that was another one of those days. You know, you have, as a person who studies history, there are days that happen, and I imagine anyone who was living through those times at that time would always remember the day the mill exploded in Minneapolis. Talk about that, because, I mean, for a lot of what you do, you're looking back through time. It's kind of a different perspective when something is unfolding in front of your eyes, correct?
Yeah, it is, and I think, you know, it's one of these interesting things that when we study history, we're so focused on the big moments of change. But a lot of times when we're living history, there's a lot more continuity. There are a lot more days where mills don't explode. And even sometimes mills do explode and then things settle down and they go back to normal. And so I think in this time, like in so many other times, a lot of us are looking at what's happening around us, like you said, kind of aware that we'll always remember this moment, but also wondering, is this one of those rare events where real change actually happens? You know, will life go back to normal after not only the unrest and the progress of the last couple of weeks, but just of the last couple of months of our lives?
You know, that's an interesting perspective, because one of the things you think about is, I mean, obviously there's going to be a talk in Minneapolis about police reform, and that's going to be going on for a while and stuff like this. But, you know, there isn't, rarely in moments like this, is there a definitive end moment on something like this. I mean, I know that a lot of people, when you're looking at U.S. history, will look to Altamont as the end of the 60s, that sort of thing. But the reality is that when that happened, I don't think a lot of people said, well, that's the end of the 60s. You know, no one kind of is like linear. And right now, there doesn't seem to be, as you said, this is a fluid, moving moment for a historical preservationist like yourself, if I can use the term. That's got to be, it's interesting and difficult at the same time, because you're right, it's fascinating history unfolding in front of your eyes, but, you know, where are these paths taking you?
Yeah, so there are a lot of questions that we are dealing with as an institution related to that. Of course, we feel a real need to collect materials and stories related to what's happening right now, also related to the COVID-19 pandemic that has been going on and will be going on for a lot longer. And the questions about when to start doing that are interesting ones, because we have this sense that a lot has already happened and people are reaching out to us, making sure that this is on our radar, making sure that we plan to collect, and we do. But some of those things that we want to collect are still being used, right, for an ongoing movement. And so we can't stop history before it's finished. But like you said, I don't think it's ever 100% clear, except for in hindsight, what the best way to tell this story will be.
You know, it's interesting. I would love to get your perspective on the preservation under this angle, that obviously newspapers, obviously, and in our day and age, social media. But from your personal experience, how do you feel as a story is unfolding? I'll give a great example. Mount St. Helens, when that blew up. I mean, a lot of people were talking, and getting in front of cameras, and there is a pretty good, verbal local record now, not only of the explosion, which everyone has seen and been like that, but the understanding of it, the people who were denying it was going to happen beforehand, that afterwards. What do you find is the best way and some of the more important ways to preserve the history? Is it just basically collecting, or how much do you try to get that personal human interaction element, those personal stories, into the archives?
And so by personal stories, do you mean oral histories?
Oral histories, written histories.
That's your question to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I guess it's interesting because TikTok and stuff like that—they can, whether or not we want to consider it. I mean, it's a oral visual history that we can kind of put into perspective. I mean, the amount of videos. I mean, Unicorn Riot, what they were doing on the nights of the rioting, covering that stuff. I mean, there's tons of stuff on social media. Do you think that better question is, do you think it tells the whole story, or do you think you have to go on out there, and whether it's through a written recount or a actual interview, do you feel it's important to get the other elements of the history of it?
Yeah, this is such an important question and such a hard one, and there are pieces of it that I would hand off to our archivist or our collections manager if they were here. But I think as someone who has researched history and studied history, and as in addition to our public programs manager, I'm also our digital engagement manager right now. So I've been doing a lot on social media. And so what I will say is just how much everyone, I think, is thinking about that. I mean, for those of us who read history or are interested in history, we know how many holes there are in the historical record. When I was researching history, I was researching the 1800s. And so there was just such a lack of, there were these big holes where there wasn't social media. There wasn't a good way of preserving what was happening to normal, average people on the ground. And we know that if you're only reading newspapers, you're only getting a small fraction of the story. And we also know that if you interview people after an event, their account will change. Their memory will be different than the way they experienced it in the moment. And so I think there's a real energy right now to grab, not just from us, but from the public as well, to save everything that's happening right now on TikTok, on Facebook, in your home. But then we have this question of maybe having too much information. How do we preserve it all, and how do we decide what is going to be important to actually invest resources in saving moving forward? And it's an open question.
Sophie Hunt, public programs manager, also digital manager for the Hennepin History Museum. I want to get into, I mean, just your perspective here. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong way here, but one of the things which I'm a political talk show host, so I get into politics. History tries its best to stay as neutral as possible, or at least present the sides, as much sides as possible. You cannot deny obviously, whether you want to call it a political element or just this kind of this police versus the protesters element, how talking about the minefield of trying to preserve this without trying to have a specific agenda or point of view being the one that's being represented. You know what I mean? I mean, is it how difficult is that as a historical preservationist to basically get something which has political elements, which has very emotional elements, and try to find the neutral path?
Yeah. Well, and of course, I think two kind of taglines that already existed that I've been hearing tossed around a lot in the world of museums and archives is, first of all, museums aren't neutral. There's not a way for us to be neutral, and that's because history is political. Like you said, it's not partisan, and our accounts of history should not be partisan, particularly when you are a local institution like ours that's representing a very diverse county. But it's not possible to present things in a way that aren't political because, that's what history is about. It's about people's lives and the way they change. So, I think I'm putting together a reading list right now to put on our blog of just anything that's come across my feed as I've been managing our digital accounts in the last couple of weeks, where historians are grappling with what's going on locally. And those articles have been posted in a wide range of news sources, and some of them are more progressive, some of them are more mainstream. And I was thinking about kind of what that means to be choosing different sources, and ultimately I decided if this is good research done by historians who know what they're talking about, I think it's our job to give people all the resources we can to make sense of this moment.
What's interesting, and by the way, I hope you can, I can post your reading list at some point, because I already can tell you the listeners are going to want to read that. I already know I'm going to get, what's the reading list? I'll get that reading list. I'll get it posted for everyone out there when we get that done. But I want to also present this as a programs manager. One of the, I think this has got to be a very difficult element for you. You are looking at history unfolding in front of your eyes, whether that's coronavirus, whether that's the George Floyd unrest in Minneapolis, and you've got to try to think about how, you know, preserving this in a way that in 20 years down the road, in 50 years down the road, in 100 years down the road, you know, if Hennepin History Museum, the staff at that point can open up this box that was left to them by, oh, here's Sophie Hunt stuff, or probably a digital file at that point, but still, you know, just, here's all the stuff that we have from that moment. How, you know, do you kind of put that concept into that you're already thinking about how, if this is revisited in 20 years by a museum, how to preserve the information that we have today so that they are set and they can put out a good presentation of what actually happened?
Yeah, we're thinking a lot about that, and that's actually one of the challenges, I think, for our institution at least, but for probably every institution in the decisions they're making right now, is that, you know, I'm on the front lines interacting with the public on social media, and so I'm trained as a historical researcher, so I just want to collect everything that I see. You know, I just want to make sure we have everything. And our archivist, who's the one responsible for, like you said, putting things in those boxes, organizing them, cataloging them so that they can be, so that they'll stay safe, they won't degrade over time, and so that people can find them in the future. Her task is to push back on me a little bit and make sure that whatever we take in, we can guarantee that we will protect and make accessible. And so that's kind of, I think, for any collecting institution, it's the back and forth that's happening is, how do we make sure that we're only taking in the amount that we are able to be responsible for?
It is a challenge. I mean, I think that that's the one of the interesting elements of museums and archivists and historical archivists, is that it's not just, you know, the fact that you're finding out about the Native American history of the region or the first governor of the state or the first mayor of Minneapolis. It's about, you know, making sure that the current stuff that you have is also being maintained. I think that that's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and then I think the other thing is we want to make sure to be reaching broadly and being creative about what kind of objects and what kind of documents that we take in, making sure that we are bringing in objects and documents that are representing the diversity of our county. You know, this is something that 50 years ago, people who were collecting were not as successful with all the time. A lot of our collection was collected by white people, about white people, and we want to make sure that we're representing this very diverse county in what we collect. And so that means being creative about the places that we're going to make sure that, especially during a movement like this, we really want to make sure that we're representing Black, Indigenous people of color in our county. We want to make sure that we're representing suburban residents of our county as well, as much as we're focused on the local situation in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's not about, you know, excluding anyone. It's basically making sure all the stories are heard, and I think that's so important. Sophie, thank you very much for talking about this, because, I mean, obviously your perspective, I mean, it is trying times for most of us with the coronavirus, with what's happened in Minneapolis. But at the same time, your perspective and the way you're looking at it, I think, you know, it does putting it in historical perspective even as it unfolds, I think that is so important, and I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Matt, for having me on the show, and I hope that people will check us out if they haven't known about us before, visit our website, hennepinhistory.org, or our Facebook and Instagram account.
That's hennepinhistory.org, hennepinhistory.org, all written out. Sophie Hunt is the public programs manager, social media manager as well for the Hennepin History Museum. Sophie, thank you very much for the time. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, we'll take a break. Matt McNeil right here on AM 950.